Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply.
Hey, everybody.
No, we already started the show. We started the show when your shit was fucked up. Everybody knows now.
Listen, I know you're just exhaling the bong hit, but calm down.
No, I didn't just exhale the bong hit.
Last show, you screamed at everyone the whole time. I was trying to listen. I was like, the audience is going to turn this off. He's yelling at everyone.
And yet, it's one of our greatest reviewed.
It was very funny, by the way, I have to say. After you stopped yelling, I was laughing my butt off.
So I didn't yell the whole episode.
No, once I said, dude, can you, you're like literally, your body was standing and yelling down into the mic. I was like, can you please calm down?
Listen,
I want the audience at home to know that Donald, as you know, just moved into his house. He has a giant bookshelf behind him with the library ladder, as we mentioned, and he has one book so far displayed, and I believe it's a Star Wars Sideshow Collectibles book.
Correct, sir.
Amazing. Can I tell you guys who I talked to today?
Who?
Tony Gilroy.
Oh, shit.
I know.
Let's have a conversation. I'm sorry if I yelled just now. Let's let the baby latch.
Yeah.
Latch back on,
let baby latch. Donald, let the weeds settle in to a more peaceful place. I also have to apologize last week. If you notice, my audio is a bit off. It's not Daniel's fault. Some of you might be thinking,
nobody cares, Zach. Let's get to the Tony Gilroy of it all.
Okay, sorry.
I am the engineer. It is my job to say, is everybody recording
properly?
Yeah, you
are the engineer.
Nobody cares, Daniel.
It's important we all take responsibility.
All right, so you spoke to Tony Gilroy. Tell the people who don't know who Tony Gilroy is, Joelle.
Yeah, Tony Gilroy wrote your favorite action movie and mine, the Bourne Identity original trilogy. He's an incredible writer, and he also is the showrunner and creator of Andor.
Yes.
So he is up for a bunch of awards this award season, as is his production designer, Luke Hall.
Yeah,
so,
it's beautiful.
Zach, remind me, the production designers, what's their guild called?
I don't know.
AGA? I can't remember either.
I'm not sure.
But they were very kindly invited me in to talk to both Luke and Tony about Andor and their experience working together. And I learned a lot. And it was
very beautiful, that show, I have to say. I voted in the DGA, the WGA, and SAG.
Ooh,
I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but I did. Donald, you definitely didn't vote for SAG because that would have involved you knowing that the SAG Awards deadline was coming up. And if Casey didn't tell you and put it in front of you, I don't think it happened.
I only vote in November.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
We'll
good answer.
Take it. We'll
Even
take
if there's
it.
No election, he just makes sure to vote on something in November. I got to tell you, so our Super Bowl ad is out. Did you guys see it?
I did, and I love it.
What?
I love
it's
it.
Out?
I love it. I love it. And where it plays, I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
This is going to be air after the Super Bowl, obviously. I'm so glad that blank team won. You guys want to pretend like we know who won? But we're recording this on Thursday before the bowl. These days the ad companies release the ads on the web a little bit early just to kind of gain some momentum. But then it'll play for the first time on TV on the bowl on Sunday.
Wait, tell us what happens in it because we didn't see it.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
You haven't seen it, Joel? You might want to watch it now. It's 60 seconds.
Let's take a quick break and we're all going to watch the trailer. Do you want me to link it to you, Joel? There's a People article about it.
It's on the YouTubes.
Go to the YouTubes and watch it. I just sent a link.
There's a link to the YouTube video. There's a link to the YouTube video.
It's better on the YouTubes because it's not cut rectangular for reels.
And this is
we're gonna take a break, guys, and we're gonna watch this.
No, we're not gonna take a break. We're just gonna give you. We're gonna talk about meaningless shit while you, audience, take a moment to look at the T-Mobile commercial where we sing with John Travolta.
Is it this one?
Good. Freaking
right.
God!
And I'm pressing play right now.
All right, good.
Share screen.
Donald. Well, let's let them digest it. Pretty fun, huh, Donald? Joelle's face right now. I think that's called she shook. I think she shook.
Oh my God. Oh right? My God. Guys, it's so cute.
Isn't that great?
How? What?
Why did it
y'all
end
were
this
children
way?
When Grease came out? What was it like singing with John Travolta? That's crazy.
It was so cool. He was so nice. Donald and I had a chat beforehand. We're like, bro, you know, we're not great around really famous people.
Oh, right, right, right.
You need to be chill.
And listen, I have a hard time.
Donald, and keep in mind, it's not like we were like drunk at a party. Donald, super sober. We're like, yeah, we got it. We're locked in. 10 seconds in, I go over. He's in Travolta's face talking about Face Off.
Wow.
I can't listen, man. He's one of my favorites. Yeah, you know what awesome. I mean? Like, even before we did the commercial, like, I've seen pretty much all of his movies, and he's always been great. You know, and, you know, Saturday Night Fever is one of the dopest movies ever made. If you're a young actor and you want to see, you know, just good movie making, put that on. I promise you it still holds up. And it's about disco, too. But it's also about more than that, you know, just if you get the opportunity.
Anyway, he couldn't have been nicer. He was so cool. It was fun. And we got to dance with him. There's an extended version that I guess since this is airing Tuesday, will probably be out. It's not out yet, but there's like a 90-second version where we...
There's a two-minute version. There's a two-minute version.
There's a two-minute version. There's a 90-second. There's longer versions where we really dance. I mean, it's too bad they couldn't air
feel like the longer the version, the better the commercial. I'm just going to keep it 100.
No,
you.
It's so funny. We dance with him. There's a whole nother section that obviously they couldn't fit into a 60-second ad for the Super Bowl. It's so expensive to advertise the Super Bowl, but... And I'm so happy the 60 seconds exists. But if you're a fan of us, obviously listening to this, check out the long extended version because it's pretty funny.
I was like, there's no way they could play this, man. This is like the length of the halftime show.
No, it's 2 minutes.
It's long, bro.
Well,
but
there's
it's
a two
so
minute,
good. It's
there's
so
a 2 minute
good.
One which has a little dialogue moment with me and Donald. And that's funny. But the 90 second one has a whole dance sequence. It's funny.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so happy we got the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, it's so fun. I mean, it's cool to be in a Super Bowl ad, but it's also just like, you know, dancing and singing Grease with Travolta. That's just like life goals, you know?
Yeah. Shout out Klugman, Panay, T-Mobile.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian Klugman, who we've had on the show, as you know. He's the Don Draper of it all. And he's just such a good man and a funny man. He wrote that whole thing himself, and it's hilarious. We never thought they were going to get Travolta. They approached Donald and I about it. And we're like, yeah, that sounds awesome, but Travolta's not going to do this. And then and then Travolta loved it. He thought it was so funny.
You guys shooting your shots everywhere. That's what they were saying about Harrison Ford coming on shrinking. We're like, it'll never happen.
You shoot your shot. That shit happens, dude.
You got to ask. I never thought Natalie Portman was going to see us to Garden State. You just you got to shoot your shot. You got to try. You got
to
ask.
You know, I'm going to keep it 100. I never thought Casey Cobb would say yes to sex this morning, but she did. And that shit was fucking awesome. Did I go too far?
No,
I went too far.
You went just far enough.
I went too far. No.
You went perfect. Although, it was funny. I thought you were going to say, it's funny because I thought you were going to say, I never thought Casey Cobb would say yes to marrying me or dating me because she said no a bunch of times.
Yeah, she did.
And then she wouldn't, she would, you know, she infamously said, doesn't he have like 9 kids?
She did.
But then she fell in love with you and you're married, but you turned it into having sex this morning, which was fun.
Yes. You know, it doesn't, listen, you know me.
You know why she gave you morning sex? Because, you know, that T-Mobile ad.
That T-Mobile dropped. That T-Mobile dropped. You know what's up.
She was like, all right, I got my new floors in my house.
Matter of fact, do you want her to come down here?
No, don't get her. Don't get her.
Don't get her to come down here?
No.
We don't want Casey to come down here?
I love Casey, but let's stay focused on topic. We have all so much to talk about.
It's the beginning of season 8. You're right.
It's season 8. Season 8. We're running out of episodes, guys.
I know.
Yeah, we don't have that many left.
Yeah, we need to come up with an idea for the show.
Let's just slow down.
We're going too fast. It's like we're going too fast, Donald. Like you probably were with Casey this morning. You have to slow down.
No, you have to slow down
and save her. Save her.
Now I got to go get her.
No, don't go get her.
Oh, you were talking God. About you talking about
no,
the coochie.
I don't want to get her.
Donald.
Oh my God. You know the real reason he goes and gets her is he's so incredibly clingy and pee whipped that like the 90 minutes we do the podcast is too much time apart. He has to go get her.
I always feel like we're interrupting whatever she's trying to do while Donald is busy.
She's probably so stoked that she gets a solid 90 minutes to do some shit without him bothering her.
Classic.
And now Zach keeps talking about it.
Zach's talking about it.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Okay.
All right, play the theme song.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
Well, this is embarrassing.
No, listen.
Yeah.
Get down so we can see you. Your husband... I thought he was going to say, we were talking about how, you know, you have to, when you're trying to get an actor for something, you can't give up. You have to keep trying to get them to be in your show. If it's Harrison Ford or whatever.
Persistence.
Be persistent. Exactly. And Donald started to say, well, I couldn't believe that Casey Cobb, and I thought he was going to say, married me after, and then he said, was willing to have sex with me this morning.
Well, you know, I take one for the team, guys. I just do what I do.
No, but then Zach said, you know why she had sex with you? Because that T-Mobile dropped.
Yeah, the T-Mobile ad dropped. He got congratulations
yeah,
sex.
See, I told you.
Yeah, he got some congratulations sex.
He got congratulations sex. And you know what? I can't have him on cloud 9 and then all of a sudden fall to the gutter because, you know, I didn't perform. But
perform.
I will humble his ass tomorrow morning. I'll be like, you had your day.
Yeah.
That shit's over.
Yeah. Now we need to put more books in the bookcase.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Now we need a backyard.
So Casey, then Donald made some comment because I said, you know, I hope that you didn't rush things. And that we were talking about this podcast and how it's going so fast and we need to slow down and not rush. And I said to Donald, I hope that he savored this morning and didn't rush too fast. And he said,
just like I rushed this morning. I said, oh, no.
Yeah. And then he said, I got to go get Casey because he wanted, I assume he wanted you to say what a wonderful lover he is.
Be honest with him. Everybody wants to hear the honest to goodness truth out there, babe.
That shit was long.
Why you gotta be shit though? First of all,
so Donald, you consciously slow down to save her. Because
this one savors every fucking second. There are times that I have to like snap and be like, "Hey, come back! Come back, sir."
Oh my God, this is hilarious. Oh my God, they're both cracking up.
She doesn't do drugs, guys.
I do. I have to bring him back to reality. Sometimes I'll look back and he's like dreaming. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not dreaming.
He's in his happy place.
he's deep in it. No pun intended.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she said sometimes I have to look back. Yeah, she said she had to look back.
She looked back like
all in the windows.
Yeah, she has to look back because she has to look back and see that you, she says that you're sort of lost in a dream world. And she has to snap to bring you back. She's
the over the shoulder look.
Stop. What are you doing?
This is great right here. Okay. We're going to win an award.
I got to go. I'm about to wet my pants. Okay.
All right. We got to start the show. Okay, Casey, bye. Thank you for your sex anecdote.
Bye, Casey.
Hope your floors are okay.
I'm all so tired.
You want to give me a kiss? Or you
that is amazing.
You good? Okay. Yeah. There it is. There okay. it is.
You guys are hilarious. I would watch that reality show.
I love so that woman.
I know. You're so in love and adorable.
Dude, it's like, you know, it's great. But we're here to talk about Scrubs.
Yeah, we're going to focus on Scrubs. I just wanted to say one last thing. I recently started watching The Boys again. It is so good. Yes. Because I had paused. I had paused for some reason. And now I just finished season two. And that is one of the best shows on TV. And it's a shame that Donald doesn't watch things because, man, he would love that.
Donald, you're not watching The Boys?
You've watched The Boys?
I watched season one of The Boys. And I guess I watched some of season two.
It's so crazy.
It's
Do you know about the crazy shot in season three?
Don't ruin anything in season three, please.
No, you don't have to. Don't ruin anything. You know, it's good. I like the show. You know, superhero shows. I don't know, man. Superhero shows get a little boring to me because I don't know, man. After a while, they just I can't take the bullshit. I want to see the action and I want to see the comic book stuff. I don't necessarily want to see like the drama of it all. And
this show
stuff,
is a lot of social commentary, which is brilliant. I mean, there's so
that's
many
cool.
things.
That's cool and all.
There
but,
must
you
be
know,
people watching this show. Who don't know that they're rooting for the bad guy?
Oh,
they definitely are.
Oh, they definitely know they're rooting. Listen,
it's
man,
horrifying.
That's the crazy thing. You know, that's the crazy thing. America thinks we're Superman, but we're really fucking that dude.
Homelander.
Yeah. We're really Homelander.
But there must be people out there. I was watching it, and end of season three is particularly poignant about social comment. Sorry, end of season two is particularly poignant. I mean, there's literally an attack on the Capitol in the show. And I said, I wonder if there's people watching this rooting for Homelander. And there must be.
Yeah.
For sure.
Most certainly.
Right. Yeah.
Season three top, season two, Zach, and I can't wait to
really?
Hear your thoughts on
Interesting.
It.
Okay,
oh, but God, season one was season one was really good. I thought season two kind of fell from season one, but that's just me.
I love it. Listen, put it this way. I'm not a person who ever watches superhero stuff for the most part, as you guys all know. But this one is just, the writing is so incredible. It's so funny. And then at the same time, it's so R-rated. Like, I feel like it's the most R-rated thing I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah.
Like the gore and the sex stuff. And
yeah, when those two had sex in the, when those two had sex in the sky.
Yeah.
Like above the couch and everything like that. And they,
y'all are not ready.
And that shit, and they banged so hard. But like, she was like, for real about it. And she was bang. Did I go too far?
No.
Okay.
You just talked about having sex with your wife to lots of people. You're fine. Okay. All right. Should we get into season eight, everybody? Let's count us in, Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know.
Well, it's a whole new world, everybody. We're on ABC now. Now, just one thing I didn't know as a piece of trivia, as you know, throughout seasons 1 through 7, I have said that this show is shot on 16mm film, and it always had the standard square aspect ratio. But I'm guessing – well, not guessing. I can tell starting in season 8, it was finally up-resed the film was up-resed to HD for the first time. So you'll notice that it's actually finally 16:9.
It's full any color, other time, full screen.
Yes. Any other time you've seen the show, seasons 1 through 7, seemingly fit your whole square 16:9 television, it's been cropped by whomever is broadcasting it. But this is finally a full HD television show, because I'm assuming back then is when the switches were being made to making everything HD.
I want to just say something really quick before we start.
Go ahead.
I found myself more fascinated with who was on the show this time around more than what was happening in the show.
Yes.
Which was really interesting, because this is the first time I've ever done that. And we've had some amazing guest stars before, but this was the first time where I was like, wait a second. Holy shit, that's, and holy shit, that's, and wow, this is before they, and oh my God, we were so, you know what I mean? Like,
well, Aziz Ansari, of course, and Eliza Coop are two people that really, and Taryn Killam. Three people that really broke out from this. I mean, Taryn was known a bit before, but I don't think Aziz and
Taryn was on Mad TV and Nickelodeon, stuff like that. You know what I mean? He hadn't necessarily had his big, you know, not ready for prime time
moment.
Breakout yet. Yeah, breakout moment yet.
But Aziz was pretty unknown, right? Maybe he was a stand-up.
No, but Aziz had like some, maybe he was on the internet or something like that. I remember walking with Aziz in the parking lot and being like, giving him the, hey kid, you stick to it, you're gonna be really, you're really funny. Fucking idiot. I fucking shot myself in the foot. This motherfucker goes on to be Aziz Ansari. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Like, but we knew back then he was gonna be good. And you knew Eliza was going to be good.
Yeah, they were all great. I mean, think about it. Like, I think Bill's strategy, I assume, was like, I want to, you know, Bill always said that he thought there's no reason that this couldn't be like an ER, where ER type show where he keeps it going. And I think the idea, this again, another thing is this is the first episode we moved to ABC. So we'll talk about some of the jokes that were in there because of ABC. So keep in mind what had happened was NBC, the ratings weren't, you know, big enough. And they were like, you know what? Seven seasons is good. That'll be the end. And then the show is owned by Disney, as we've told you, and ABC is owned by Disney. So Disney said, we're not done yet. We're going to put it on ABC. So I think Bill's thinking was, as any smart showrunner would, like, you know, maybe I should start introducing some new young blood, because this could be like ER. It just keeps going for 20 years with new comedians.
Yeah, he was trying to bring in Sam.
Yes. For those of you that know a Different Strokes reference, he was trying to bring in Sam.
I could break dance and play the guitar, Mr. D.
Anyway, so that's what's going on with them. And then, of course, we have the stunningly beautiful Courtney Cox coming in onto the show.
You know, yeah. Bill was on to something. I think this would have worked if he could have kept the original cast for the whole series, and if he would have stayed on the show, you know what I mean? Like, I don't remember season 9. I know we shot a season 9. I don't necessarily remember it.
Think you how stoned I mean? You must have been. Well, you Bill know, was gone.
That,
you know, we
at that point I was freaking out of control, stoned, man. Like I was. Yeah.
Well,
ridiculous.
We joke about season 9, and we're going to watch season 9, which will be fun, because I definitely, Donald and I have not seen a single episode of it, but. Bill, it's worth noting that Bill wasn't the writer of that sort of spinoff. It was a whole new writer's room. Bill went on to do Cougar Town with Courtney Cox.
This was kind of like the testing ground for their, you know.
Yeah, this is where Bill got to know Courtney and became friends with her and really liked writing for her. And so then they went off to make Cougar Town, which interestingly enough also started on ABC, and then when ABC tried to cancel it, they moved that show to TBS and kept it going. So Bill's probably in the Guinness Book of World Records for shows moved to other networks.
I'm sure Dick Wolf I'm sure he's done it before.
He said Dick Wolf.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC 3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
He's a dick and wolf. Yeah, that's some backstory about this. The opening joke is, starts right off.
With you being beard face now.
Well, I have a beard. By the way, I was so bummed about how brown. There's not a single gray hair in that beard.
No, it looks weird.
I love it. What do you mean it looks weird?
It looks weird.
I look like Kenny Loggins.
Zach, I was like, look at the glow up Zach had between 7 and 8. My God.
A glow up, right?
I did have a glow up. The hair was whipped.
The hair was fierce. Flying.
Zach had some success. He came back with some money.
I look
tan.
He was
like, let's go.
Yeah. I look tan. I got a fucking fully brown, not one gray hair beard.
I think didn't
the
we
hair
go
was
to,
on point.
Didn't
the
we go to St. Bart's that summer? Weren't we in St. Bart's that summer?
Whatever happened, I looked my best I've ever looked.
You were skinny. Look how skinny you are.
I don't know if I'll ever look that good again. Not a single fucking wrinkle under my eye.
Dude, shit, man.
That was where I peaked. I peaked with that Kenny Loggins beard.
You didn't peak. You look good in a T-Mobile commercial, baby.
Oh, thank you, girl.
Your eyes are so blue in that commercial.
Yeah, they are blue. That sweater really brings out the blueness in my eyes.
It's like it pops.
Hey, that wasn't an accident, Donald. I got to tell you, I picked a blue. I picked blue.
I knew you did.
What I wanted to say is the very first joke that JD makes won't come across in certain places where you're watching it. But if you recall, he points down to the bottom right-hand portion of the screen and he goes, huh, that's new. That's because that's where the ABC had a little button, a little ABC identifier tag on the bottom of the screen. And then Bill did a joke on that and then revealed that in the show he's pointing to, I guess, the janitor's watch or the gum that the janitor's...
The watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the janitor says, oh, you're talking about my watch? So we do a little joke about that. But that was sort of, there's some meta jokes in here about moving to ABC throughout the episode.
Well, definitely in the end credits.
Of course,
which we'll get to.
Written by the very talented Angela Nissel and directed by the legendary Michael Spiller.
We had him on the show before, man, but let's just, for you guys that don't remember, Spiller has directed so much television. He directed Sarah on Firefly Lane. He directed so many episodes of Scrubs. He's directed, like, you know, so many things. But Sex and the City is his, like, was like the beginning of it all, right? Am I right?
Yes, because he started as a cinematographer.
Yeah, he was the DP on it and then moved over to...
Some cinematographers aspire to move on from being the cinematographer to being a director. And some are quite successful. And Michael was that. He shot, I believe, most of Sex and the City and then started directing Sex and the City. And then now he's a very big and beloved TV director.
It's, you know, your path is your path.
And now he's back with Sarah Chalk with Firefly Lane. Although that's over now, I think, right?
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Because spoilers, Sarah, you know. Spoilers. All right, so the janitor says that I have a prepubescent Miami Vice beard, and I say that I look like – I say there are some who think I look like a young Kenny Loggins. And he says, who? And I say, me. And then
away to the danger zone. You know you wanted to sing that.
I didn't, especially not that loud, but let's let the babies latch again. Let them suckle, and they're latched.
I was so far away from the mic. How was it so loud?
Well, if you get the baby on the areola and someone screams out loud, you're going to jostle the baby.
I wish I had video of that baby jostled when it happened. That's so cute. It's like, ah!
All right, so let's just go through. We meet all the new interns. As we mentioned, Ed is played by Aziz. Denise is played by Eliza Coop. And we learn that speaking of T-Mobile, I think he's got like a sidekick because I couldn't tell if it's actually a T-Mobile sidekick, but he's got that flip-up style.
He
like
definitely has the flip-up.
I wish T-Mobile would bring back that sidekick. That phone was great.
That phone
was
so good.
Listen, I miss. Do I sound like an old man when I say I really still miss a tactile keyboard?
No, not at all, dude.
I don't know why anyone doesn't. Why is no one like you? This is what you should do. Ready? You have an iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't change the thickness, or maybe they make it a little bit thicker. But then you pop out your fucking little keyboard. Why not, guys? Yep. Come on.
I see it. Sick. Also, if I could just slap a phone shut again, I would really appreciate it. I miss being able to just click it. Kids don't know, but it's a very tactile experience.
They have that.
I found one of my old flip phones here, an old Motorola. I was playing with it, flipping it closed.
But
it's dual glass, and I don't feel comfortable. You can't get a proper snap on that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, you can't get that click. Bye, bitch. Click.
Yes. Bye, bitch. I just don't understand why no one, like the BlackBerry held on as long as it could because for people who love the tactile keyboard. But now that it's gone, why no one creates something like this?
I don't know.
It could even be an aftermarket like case of something.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're definitely trying to sell distraction, right? So there's no way anybody's going to sell you a phone where all it does is just flip open. Unless that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of people sell flip phones if you don't want to. Well, the assistant editor I had on my film, awesome guy named Elliot Eisman, and he was in his 30s and had a flip phone. Yeah. And I always made fun of him because I was like, dude, I really hate that my texts go green to you. And we would laugh about it, but he's like, I just never went down the smartphone wormhole. I saw how it took over everyone I know's life. And I just held myself back and never went down the wormhole. I was impressed. He's the only person I know like that.
Yeah. I can't text on that shit though. That's the only problem.
But the
reason why the sidekick was so dope was because it had a lot of functions. Same thing with the freaking Sky Pager.
But it was just
those
so cool.
Had functions.
It was just so cool how it flipped out though. The sidekick.
No doubt. How you could Yeah. It's almost like Star Trek. Click, click, click.
Yeah, Paris Hilton made that famous, right? That was like at the height of Paris Hilton's
T-Mobile at the time, it was Charles Barkley and Dwayne Wade were the sidekick dudes.
Oh, really? I just mean that Paris was everywhere in the news, and I remember she always had a sidekick.
Right.
Bedazzled pink joint.
Yeah, it was like bedazzled.
Mm-hmm. Captain's log. Stardate supplemental.
You probably knew this, but you can put I'm trying to tiptoe off these addictive apps, and you can on your phone you can put a time limit on specific apps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I need so this. Like what is this called? Drug.
What?
What is this called? What is this time? It's built into my phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you go in settings, audience, you're gonna love this. This is gonna help you all. It's gonna help you wean yourself off crack cocaine. You can go in and like select Instagram, for example.
Disclaimer, Disclaimer. This is not going to get you off of crack cocaine.
No, I'm saying I don't mean crack cocaine. I mean the crack cocaine that is social media. So you can say, okay, Instagram, you can see how much time you're spending on a day. And then you can go, okay, I'm going to, that's embarrassing. I can't believe I'm spending that much time on Instagram a day. And then you can go set timer for 1 hour. So, and then a second you reached an hour, it locks you out of the app.
Mm-hmm. And that setting is called screen time.
Screen time.
What if you got to post something?
Well, you can override it if, like, for work you need to post something, obviously.
But also, but schedule your posts. Like, if you're posting for work, just schedule it so that way you're not tempted to be on the app.
But what if you just found the dopest ham and cheese sandwich you've ever had in your life, and you want to take a picture of it?
You could just undo it.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
First of all, where's this ham and cheese sandwich? Because now I want one.
Right.
But anyway, what you can do, just like someone weaning them off drugs, is, and I started to do this, you start, like, say, in an hour, right? And then you get locked out. And you go, okay. And then, like, the next day you do 55 minutes. And then the next day you do 50. And little by little, you're not using the app as much anymore.
I like
that. There you go. The more you know. Dan, I'll play the more you know music, please. Okay. Back to the TV show Scrubs. Everyone at this hospital has been flirting with someone on the web called Hot Girl 99.
Okay. We should give a little bit of a story about these new interns, because that's what this show is pretty much about. Okay. So Katie is a kiss ass. Denise has horrible bedside manner.
Yes.
Ed, which you're talking about right now, tricks a catfish to come to the hospital. So he gets catfished and then catfishes the catfish to come to the hospital.
Yes, and he says, be holding a red balloon. But he's Aziz's character is playing Hot Girl 99, and he says, carry a red balloon so I'll know. And then JD says, wait, you're Hot Girl 99?
Yeah.
And he walks away like he's been chatting to her too. And then throughout the episode, as a runner, you see lots of men holding red balloons, including Colonel Doctor.
Yes.
And Ted.
Yes. That's a sad story.
Sam Lloyd.
This is the saddest Sam Lloyd has ever been on the show.
I know. It's really dark too. Like, you would definitely not make these jokes in 2023.
No,
but
not at all.
But it got a little dark.
But I love Jimmy, the overtouchy. How do you say it?
The overly touchy orderly.
Yeah, the overly touchy orderly. I love Jimmy the overtouchily orderly.
Oh my God! When Sam
breathe falls, on my face.
When Sam falls out of his chair, and Ted falls out of the wheelchair because he was cold and needed a seat, right. and then he's on the ground, and then that was the funniest shit of the episode when Taryn is like groping him, and he's like,
yeah,
okay. He's like, he's just like, okay, slow, move slowly. Don't
do
rush
I
anything.
Know you?
Yeah, and he's like, do I know you? And he's like, move slowly, don't rush anything. He's like, okay, breathe on my face. That was hilarious.
I laughed the hardest at that.
Yeah,
at that,
me too.
At that part.
So Courtney Cox gets the beautiful, beautiful woman entrance that we always do on Scrubs. But then we do a play on the joke. We joke the joke by having it go on too long. And JD's like, all right, come on, hurry up the sexy music.
Yeah, but also JD's not attracted to her.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah,
he didn't seem like.
No. He says because she was, he says something like, because she was a babe, of course I had to do this. And then Courtney does. There's no one who doesn't think Courtney looks sexy.
Let me tell you.
In those videos, those entrance videos, she's a knockout.
Let me tell you something right now.
Yes, Donald.
Courtney Cox is, on the top 10 list, right? At least with my top 10 list.
She's in the top 10 list.
Yeah.
She's
a babe.
My top 10. Oh my gosh, man.
Forever. All the way back to Family Ties.
Yeah, she was the second love interest.
Yeah,
on the show. I go all the way back to Bruce Springsteen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kelso's replacement, we said, is Courtney Cox, and Cox doesn't want to smile so badly because he knows he's going to hate her because she's at the hospital that he defibrillates his head.
He blows his brains out with a defibrillator.
Yeah, that's not recommended to defibrillate your head.
I would not do that. I would not do that. I don't know if that. I don't think that's the right way.
No, you definitely don't want to defibrillate your head.
To use
guys.
That,
Dan, put the "You More You Know" music again. Kids, don't defibrillate your head. But anyway, it gets a smile off of him. And now this is actually this story with JD being so nervous not to know what to say to Courtney Cox's character. And so they're talking about their babies, and he says, "Did you deliver vaginally?"
I did.
And he goes, big girl. Must have hurt.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I just recently was reminded, this is a real story from Matt Tarsis, one of our favorite writers. Jeff Zucker, who you told you was the head of NBC, the one that Donald noogied. Matt Tarsis nervously was talking to him, and they were talking about their kids. This all happened in real life. And Matt was nervous and didn't know what to say. They were exchanging stories about having a newborn. And Matt said, so did your wife deliver vaginally?
What did Zucker think about was happening on this show?
As it comes out of your mouth.
Do you have anyone in your life that like, is this just me? Or like, there's certain people like, you're just kind of nervous around and you always say something stupid.
If I've seen you in a movie ever in my life, that's me. I just can't help it.
I have certain people who every time I'm like, all right, dude, you got this. Like, it's obvious. Donald's right. It's often someone I admire or someone I think is really cool. And then what comes out is just so stupid, like out of a movie. Yeah. So Donald and I both have this problem, and it's usually around people we admire. We both call each other the next day and cringe and go, dude, I didn't know what to say. I said something so stupid to so-and-so. JD comes in and Cox is ranting about how he finds so many people annoying. And JD does a walk by and goes, new freckle. That means JD is keeping track of Cox's freckles.
I'm going to say that the facts of life jokes.
Yeah, I love them. I don't know if anyone gets them who isn't our age.
But I thought that shit was hilarious. How Denise is Joe and Katie is Blair. But then when Ed is like, you could call me Tootie, I won't think it's racist. That shit had me rolling.
That was funny.
That was great.
But a facts of life joke is a deep cut for some people. But for those of you who don't know, it's a sitcom we all loved very much when we were growing up. And I had such a crush on Joe. Who didn't have a crush on Joe? No, some people were Blair people. I was a Joe person.
I was a Joe.
Me too.
I was a Joe and I was a tomboy. Tootie. And I was a Tootie. Oh my God, was I a Tootie. Yeah.
Woo-wee, was I a Tootie.
Oh my, let me tell you something right now, man. Oh man, you want to talk about that her mom actually, Chip Fields, Kim Fields' mom, Kim Fields played Tootie. Chip Fields, little known that when I first moved out to Los Angeles and I was doing Clueless, the television show, they hired her to help me learn how to do sitcom with my sitcom timing. So she would, unbeknownst to me, one day I walk in my trailer and Chip Fields is in there. And this is the mom from Good Times who beat Penny, Janet Jackson, right?
Oh.
And so I walk into my trailer and she's sitting in there and I'm like, oh shit. She was like, they hired me to work with you. And I was like, oh, okay. And she would, for like almost a season, she would come to set and run lines with me.
Did she help you?
Yeah, she helped tremendously. Like, she's a great coach. That was what she did at that point. But that's the one time.
Clueless wasn't a sitcom, right?
No, it wasn't. It was a multi-camera thing. But I was playing the whole thing like, I was trying to play the whole thing like this and talk. Everything was very natural. And when, you know.
Right. You were used to being in a film. You were used to the sort of heightened reality of a comedy, right?
Right. And so I'm playing this and everybody else is really big. And I'm trying. It's a great story, man, because like, it was me before I learned how big I could become. Like now I go so big that directors and shit will be like, hey, could you just tone it back a little?
Bring it down, buddy.
Bring it down.
By the way, I saw that Alicia had a Super Bowl commercial as well.
With Alisa Donovan, both of them from
Clueless. It was very nice. Since she was one of my biggest crushes, I was very happy to see her back in the yellow outfit.
She looked amazing too.
They both look beautiful, and Alicia's so funny, and I like her a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we take a break, and we come back? We're going to talk about how Ed wears gloves to sleep, so he has soft hands. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Terms apply.
And we're back. We are back, everybody. And I'm giving you noises that you all love so much.
Fuck your sound machine.
Fuck your sound. Hold on. You want that one? I'll give it to you, baby. Hold on. That's in Bank B. You won't believe what I got.
How many banks
here.
You got now, bud?
There's too many banks. I need Daniel to come over and consolidate the banks.
You're like Wells
Fuck
Fargo.
Your sound effects
too
machine.
Many banks.
Fuck your sound effects machine.
How's it going?
Come over and consolidate banks.
Yeah, I need bank consolidation, Daniel.
I got you.
I need a tech who could come over and go, bro, you got too many banks.
Shut it, dog.
My name is Zach. Okay, so everyone puts their hands in because JD is going to give he needs a break from the interns. He says, hold down the ICU floor. I'm out of here. And they put their hands in and they say, and I say, somebody has soft hands. And Aziz says, I sleep in gloves. And then we put our hands up and say, nobody die. that's our cheer. So nobody dies. And then, we should mention also that Carla and Elliot's storyline is that Carla's trying to be honest with Elliot and say that she's whiny and self-involved.
Well, Elliot is, Elliot notices Katie and. Yeah.
They're calling her Mini Elliot.
And Travis calls her Mini Elliot. And that's what the whole hospital is saying. Right. And Elliot's like, wait a second, I'm not self-centered. And Cox is like, actually, you're very self-centered. You're probably the most self-centered person I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes a nerve with Elliot. And she, you know, her and Carla go to dinner. And at dinner, she can't believe that Cox said that. And she expects Carla to back her up. And instead of backing her up, Carla agrees with Cox.
Yeah.
And that's their storyline. Sometimes that's the storyline for the whole show. Sometimes the truth isn't what you want to hear. You know what I mean?
Right. And that people that you are close to you and respect you will, you should be open to what they have to say.
Well,
there's a saying like, if enough people tell you you're drunk, sit down.
Hmm. That's what's up.
And so this episode is, the theme is sort of telling hard truths to people. So Carla's is like, yeah, you are. Look what you did to Keith. Look what you've, look what's been going on in your life. You are self-involved. And Elliot is not having that. We see that Kelso is perched up in Coffee Bucks, and that's where he's going to be every single day, he's announced. He doesn't want to leave the hospital, I guess.
Well, he comes there for the drama. He loves to watch the show.
Right. That's what we established, that in retirement, he likes to sit there and watch the soap opera of the hospital unfold.
Why is Turk in the ICU all the time? Like, what the fuck? He's a surgeon. Like, why is he always hanging out in the ICU?
Well, I'm sure he has to do consults and decide if someone's going to go to surgery and what have you. I don't know. I'm a fake doctor. But also, it's because it's a comedy and we like Turk.
That is true.
That's one of the main sets.
Where his bestie and his wife are, too. I'd be like, let me just stretch my heels out over here.
Yeah,
it's a big hospital.
Everyone's sort of based in the ICU because that's sort of the main, one of the main sets. It's where we do rounds. What's crazy is that 99.9% of shows you all listeners watch, that would be a set, but that's a real ICU. I know we forget sometimes that we were shooting this in an abandoned hospital, but that was really the ICU of a hospital. I mean, think what's crazy is we shot a comedy in there and think how much happened in that room.
Let me ask you a question. Can you say you visited every room in that hospital?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I can't
say
I did.
But I definitely explored every inch of it. Because
I explored a lot of it. I never, you know what? When it got to like the children's ward and like the morgue and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck around.
But we shot in the morgue, but I would never go in the morgue alone. I remember being down in the basement alone and I could never go in the morgue alone, but I would explore. Eventually, they turned some room into the gym down there.
Yeah, I think it was the morgue.
That wasn't the morgue. That wasn't the morgue. I don't know what that room was, but it was a big room in the basement they converted to a gym.
That line where Turk says, Carla has spies everywhere.
Yeah.
That is my wife, yo.
Really? She has spies everywhere?
Oh, my God. I can't do nothing. I take a shit in the forest. My wife is like, you know that squirrel told me about what you did in the forest.
She don't play, dude.
She just don't. I don't know, man. She knows everybody, man. At one point, like I forget this all the time, but at one point my wife was really fucking famous. You know what I mean? And I forget that. And I forget
because
that she
was
knows.
On the context. She was on The Newlyweds, right? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Jessica Simpson and her husband had a reality show and Casey was her best friend.
Jessica Simpson and her ex-husband, Nick Lachey,
yes,
had a reality show and Casey was her assistant.
Did you watch the show, by the way?
I had never seen the show in my life.
So you didn't know that she was reality TV show famous when you had a crush on her?
I had no clue. All I knew was that she would be at the club shaking her ass all the time. I thought she was cute. That's it. That's
and
all
you,
I knew.
And you must have known she was Jessica's best friend because she was always next to Jessica.
Right. Right. And I knew that she was Jessica's best friend. I remember asking somebody, looking at a picture, yo, who is that? And the person going, that's Casey Cobb. Like, yo, you don't know who that is, dog? And yeah, so.
She was also very popular because she has an amazing personality. So everybody, she knew a lot of people.
Right. But she got spies everywhere because of her connections, like because of the people that she knew back then. I go to a gym. And people are like, I'm not known as, like, I tell this joke all the time. I'm not known as Donald Faison ever. I'm always known as somebody else's something or the name of a show. So I was known as Clueless. I was known as freaking Petey to all football players. I'm known as freaking Black Scrubs to a lot of Scrubs fans or Turk to Scrubs fans. Yeah, crazy, right? And then to, like, the Hollywood world and stuff like that, I'm known as Casey's husband. Like, that shit is just how it goes, dude. I walked into a gym and somebody was like, oh, yeah, you Casey's husband. I was like, what? What the fuck?
I went to
breakfast. She's got spies everywhere.
I went to breakfast at Salt's Cure for brunch, and a woman came in wearing a UCLA sweatshirt. And she said to me, oh, I saw your buddy at the game the other day. I guess you went to a UCLA game?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, your buddy. You know what they say when they see me? Oh shit! You know what? I just saw Zach Braff at.
No, they don't. I'm sure they say
they
your buddy.
They never say your buddy. It's always Zach Braff, dude. You know the joke? I'm going to tell the joke. I got to tell the joke. You know the joke. So here's the joke.
Wow. No one said joke that many times in one sentence ever.
Cut that down, Daniel. Cut the jokes down.
No, leave it, Daniel.
I first moved to Hollywood, and I do a show called Clueless, and no matter where I go, I'm known as Clueless. Then I get Scrubs, and I meet Zach, and I'm taking Zach out to clubs, and people will be like, oh, shit, there goes Clueless. And Clueless brought his friend. Zach does Garden Damn. State. Yeah, no bullshit. Zach does Garden State. It then becomes, oh, shit, there goes Zach Braff. And look, he's with Clueless. That's my fucking life, yo. That's how it goes. That's how it is.
And now you said they call you T-Mobile guy.
They do call me T-Mobile. Look, this shit, I'll take it too, bro. Look, I'll take it. Somebody said to me the other day, yo, man, you look so familiar. Where do I know you from? I was like, oh, I'm an actor. I was on a show called Scrubs. And, you know, I did a movie called Clueless. And he was like, oh, no, that's not it. T-Mobile.
I came out of a restaurant in LA called Craig's, which is a really good Italian place. And this paparazzo guy took my picture as I was getting in my car. And when he was done, he turns to me. He's like, yo, should I really switch to T-Mobile?
Yes, please continue to let me get paid, sir. Wow.
That's funny.
Like as though we're like, as though I have like a pamphlet in my pocket.
Yeah. Probably. I should start carrying it around.
Yeah, here are the plans, sir. Yeah. All right. So again, JD doesn't know what to say to her. And so he says he doesn't want to say that, you know, she's hot because he's just nervous. And he says, you look like a well-built, sturdy woman.
She's like, sturdy?
She says, like a shed. And I go, like a naughty.
She goes, I like that.
I go, like a naughty structure.
Structure. And then she walks away. Oh my God.
And then she asks the janitor. She finally has a showdown with the janitor because she's not down with his shenanigans. And she sees that his name tag says the janitor.
And then she fires him.
Yeah. I mean, the janitor gets fired.
But he doesn't leave the hospital.
No, he has no intention of leaving. By the way, when she finally says, catches him later, he's like, he's holding a screwdriver to nothing. He's on a ladder. And it's like, you know, those drop ceiling, like whatever they are, asbestos panel things that are in a hospital. He's just holding a screwdriver to it, just trying to look busy. He's not doing it. Okay, so we also learned that Keith is really still devastated. I mean, he's trying to act like he's not hurt. Then they drop this line, which was good writing. Ted says, "Oh, he has to take an anti-anxiety pill to be able to talk to Elliot." And he waits for it to kick in.
Oh God.
And he says, "No one wants the person who hurt them to ever see how badly they've been hurt." Mm. Yeah, I had that reaction too, to Ted dropping knowledge on Sarah.
Yeah, that's a tough one right there, bro.
So Keith is hiding his pain because he's trying to act normal and okay. And then we cut to Jimmy the
Do you want to, let me ask you a question. Do you want to see how hurt that person is?
No, I don't think anyone, if you're the person who's doing the breaking up, you don't want to see the pain you're causing anybody. Oh, you're saying, what are you saying? The opposite?
So nobody wants to see how, nobody wants the person who hurt them to know how hurt they really are. Mm-hmm. But if you hurt somebody, do you want to see how, if you unintentionally hurt somebody, don't you want to see how you've hurt them? You know what I mean? So that you can correct that?
Well, I hear you're saying, I don't think anyone wants to obviously see that they've
hurt. Nobody wants to be the cause of hurt.
But you're saying, but you're saying unless you see they've hurt, then you can't, then you don't have the fork in the road to make it right. Yeah.
Right.
Right. And so it's so hard with breakups and couples. I mean, they work at the same place. It's so tricky. Yeah. You know?
Cause then all of a sudden, all of those things that you guys used to do now is inappropriate. You know what I mean? All of a sudden.
And also it's not only inappropriate, but it's like now, I mean, it's so cringe. You have to work together and You have to see each other. Then you have to see that person start dating. And it's in your face. Okay, how about Jimmy the orderly massaging Courtney's face? That was funny.
That was hilarious. It's a lot of, I don't know if I would allow a lot of the things that the overtouchily orderly did, he couldn't get away with doing.
No.
Now, no.
This was 2009, Joelle? 8?
Yeah, I think we're 2009 now.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be touching breathe faces.
Breathe on my face would get fired.
Well, breathe on my face is like post-COVID. No one's saying that.
That'll get you fired.
But he's also like fully molesting Ted on the floor.
Yes. Ted got a case.
But the chief of the hospital is probably not going to have their face massaged by an orderly.
Well, he got fired for doing that.
Oh, he did get fired? But he's in more episodes. That's why. He must get rehired.
I think the janitor's going to get
fired. Well, obviously the janitor.
Spoiler alert. The janitor's going to get rehired.
I forgot. Too. I didn't remember the janitor getting actually fired. So the janitor's made a key. She says, give me your keys. And he holds up one key. And she goes, where are all the other keys? And he said, I got tired of holding them all. So I made everything work off this one key. And then he starts a motorcycle in the parking lot.
Is that not Sasha?
No, it's Sasha. No, he starts
it's
Sasha.
Not Sasha. It's a real motorcycle. Oh, no, Sasha's a little blue Vespa wannabe. This is a real motorcycle.
But then the janitor comes in with the freaking files locked in his suit, in his briefcase. And he's like, I had the stuff for the patient in my briefcase, but I locked it in there. And then she takes said key and opens up his briefcase.
It opens everything.
Even
a tiny briefcase lock, a motorcycle, every door in the hospital.
How did he do that? How did he get all of those locks? And install them.
Well, I guess in the real world, you'd have to change every lock, including every motorcycle. But in Scrubs world, he just had to make a magical key. And by the way, that's not a fantasy. That is real life. He made a magical key. So Cox has a heart-to-heart with JD about how he's handling his...
Great scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I like that scene.
Both scenes, the Keith and Elliot scene, very touching. And then the Cox and JD scene, very touching.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we've been waiting for this moment because it was bound to happen. We were waiting for this moment. And it finally happens where Cox looks at JD as a peer and not just as someone who's beneath him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks at him as a competent doctor. And it's not a lesson. The lessons that are coming JD's way now aren't hard lessons anymore. Now it's more of a conversation. And if JD can, and if JD hears it in the conversation, then there it is. But for the most part, Cox is no longer going to coddle JD. And that's what that scene meant to me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to fucking do all of that other shit that you want the hard truth. That's not coming anymore. What's coming your way is, motherfucker, I'm scared too. I'm over this shit too. This is what life is, though. You know what I mean?
I think we were all trying to find something new. And I think these new actors brought something fun and new. And Courtney brought something fun and new. And, you know, it was
Aziz definitely brought something fun.
Keep in mind, we were all like, it wasn't like we're on a back lot where you're going to mingle and meet new people. And you know, we were all in this abandoned hospital in the valley.
Yeah.
So
we met no one. Like we would see no one.
No one. No, because who the hell would visit? I mean, fans aside, like nobody's, when you're on a back lot, you like run into other casts, you meet other crews. When you're in an abandoned hospital, like no one comes to visit you.
At all.
The executives didn't even come to visit us.
No.
Like, why would they want to come to an abandoned hospital?
But, I mean, don't get it twisted. I realized then, and realize now, but I realized then how lucky I was to be on a television show. But at this point, I remember being like burnt out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And again, you start to question, like, I don't want to, you want to go out on top. You don't want to drive it into the ground where you're like, oof, this is, we're jumping the shark kind of Fonzie stuff, you know? Fonzie jumping the shark on his skis.
On this, no, motorcycle.
No, he was water skiing.
Oh, he was water skiing. That's right. And he jumped over the shark.
You can't jump. I guess you could jump a shark on a motorcycle, but you'd have to.
Evel Knievel didn't he?
You'd have to.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. But Fonzie was wearing a leather jacket when he was on his water skis. I don't know if you know that.
It's also the downfall of Happy Days.
Do you know that trivia that when Fonzie does jump the shark in Happy Days, he's still wearing his Fonzie leather jacket.
That's how popular that show was. That show was so popular that at its demise, when it finally reached its worst moment, people were still like, it jumped the shark.
Well, Jump the Shark didn't become a term until much later. But I remember, you know, for kids, it was, I didn't know anything about something becoming stale. I was like, Fonzie's going to jump a shark.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. No doubt.
He's so cool.
Shit, no doubt. But is it not in the dictionary? It should be. If it's not.
No, I forgot. I don't know the genesis of it. Dan, maybe you do. But someone eventually said, called it like, made it the term for when a show has reached its limit and now it's gone beyond how great it used to be.
Yeah, it peaked and now you're on your down.
And so, the example of Fonzie jumping a shark on water skis was like.
With a leather jacket on.
Yes, Dan, go ahead.
Got an answer for you.
Yeah.
The idiom jumping the shark was coined in 1985 by John Hine in response to the 1977 episode of Happy Days in which Fonzie jumps the shark.
Shit. Right. Happy Days was 1977?
Mm-hmm. Oh, then we were watching reruns.
We were watching reruns, bro.
Yeah. Wow. That's true for a lot of shows we loved. There's a lot of shows that we loved growing up like that I thought were like being shot at the time, but we were watching the syndicated reruns.
Well, I knew The Honeymooners was an old show.
No, Honeymooners.
I knew that was an old show. I knew Beaver and the Brady Bunch and all that stuff. Oh, my God.
I'm not talking about The Honeymooners, dude. I'm talking about, like, stuff like Three's Company. Those were in reruns. As a kid, I thought those were new. All right, let's wrap it up. The janitor is fired. We learn there's a new janitor hired who couldn't be a sweeter old man. He's just a nice, let me know if I can help you.
Yeah. And then we have end credits.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, just the final thing that we learned that Courtney Cox's character is, in fact, just a bit a stereotypical hospital executive. She wants all the money she can get out of this patient. He has great
insurance. Killmonger was right.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that reference is, but there you go. She's trying to get all the money she can out of him. And then, yes, as Donald said, there's a new thing on ABC. Instead of them playing the theme music and going through funny stills from that episode, there's now like a little coda, a little tiny scene over the credits. And in this particular one,
which was really weird. And this one, we talk about Dr. Shalhoub. We talk about the Nielsens. And they're all plays on like Monk is Dr. Shalhoub.
Yeah, because Shalhoub would win every award I was
every
ever
Emmy,
up for.
Every year, he would win the Emmy. And then the Nielsens, we talk about it all the time on a podcast, but Scrubs was never a big hit.
Yeah, for those who don't know what the Nielsens are, it's the rating system and helps you extrapolate how many people are watching the show. And so we do a joke like, even though the Nielsens seem to differ, then we cut to a couple that's named the Nielsens.
And they disapprove of.
They're shaking their heads.
They're like, we don't like you guys.
Two things I learned on Scrubs Wiki about this, that there's a moment where Sarah flashes in a bar, a flashback, and she says, oh, what's the worst that can happen? And then we see that it's made it to a DVD.
Girls Gone Wild type.
It's like a Girls Gone Wild type flashing DVD. And I learned on Scrubs Wiki that the stars that are over Sarah's breasts, ABC demanded that they be made bigger. And when Sarah heard that, she claimed that it made her very happy that the stars needed to be made bigger.
Love Sarah.
She apparently tells that story on the DVD. And also a little interesting bit of trivia, because of Courtney Cox's schedule, all of the scenes involving her in the show were shot towards the end of season 8. So we shot all the episodes, all the stuff that didn't involve Courtney Cox, and then saved Courtney Cox scenes for the end of the season.
Now, how did we do that? So she never has scenes with Aziz then?
Why do you say that?
Because Aziz only lasts about 3 episodes on the show this year.
Oh, that might be true. I don't know. We'll see. But I know that I just read that, and I remember there being a thing with Courtney, like she wasn't available until later, so we just would shoot everything except Courtney scenes, and then we circled back, and picked up Courtney's stuff. So there you go. There's the first episode of season 8, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Joelle, do we have some submissions for today?
Yeah, we can do some submissions.
Okay, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to listen to some submissions for new podcast ideas, which we need, and a new TV show idea for Donald and I. We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
And we're back. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Gamma?
Fuck your sound effects machine.
Why gotta be so aggro with it?
Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
All right. It's time to hear something that could possibly beat that.
Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
I don't know how you can beat that.
Yeah. No ChatGPT today. I have no idea if people are enjoying that or not. Daniel and Joelle, do you know if anyone likes those things?
I've seen a couple of comments being like very positive, but let us know, guys. Also, if you have suggestions for what we should put into the chat box that you would like to hear more scripts about.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, but Joelle and Daniel are, and so let them know if you like the ChatGPT thing. We want to serve you.
I thought Sarah was fabulous last week. Funny.
I think the ChatGPT thing is funny, and I usually find is a good barometer. If we laugh at it, then other people will laugh at it. So I don't know. We'll see what people say. Daniel will look on the Reddits and the Twitters.
I still laugh at Zach and Donald, the gay newlyweds in house arrest.
Yeah, I don't know how you beat that, but we're not allowed hilarious. To play gay. We're not allowed to play gay, Donald. I'm sorry.
Oh, those days are over.
Well, some people are allowed to play gay. It's confusing, but
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not gay anymore, you cannot play gay in a movie.
Well, there's a debate about that. What's
there
that?
Is a debate. It's there's a complicated debate.
Let
Joelle
weigh. Let a member of the queer community weigh in. But there is a debate. I've spoken to some gay show creators who side on the other side of some of the gay community and say that they don't believe in that. But Joelle, mm-hmm. as a queer representative, can you mm-hmm. tell Donald the debate?
Sure. So the debate is that frequently, particularly people who present as gay, just as they show up, have difficulty getting cast outside of like stereotypical gay roles, even if they have the range, right? Mm-hmm. So the thought, and I think it's a beautiful thought, is, well, let's leave gay roles to gay people. To me, the issue with that is sexuality is not a concrete thing. People fluctuate. Some people learn about their queerness through their art and performing and trying different things. And so to leave out people who are not currently out of the closet, I think limits what the queer experience can look like on screen. And I think that's dangerous. What I really like is what Craig Mazin did in The Last of Us. In it, you know, you have one actor who's gay and out and one actor who's straight and married to a woman. But Craig made sure that the director was gay and that the writer was gay and that there were additional gay people on the crew. And he also went to a bunch of gay people to read the scripts before they went into production. And by doing that, he allowed a full queer experience on screen without, you know, having anyone default to, you know, stereotypical lisps or, you know, catty fights or whatever. It felt like an authentic relationship. My stance is, if you can involve as many queer people as possible, and if you have an actor who respects the queer community, then I don't see a problem with expanding beyond that in your casting.
I hear you, but there's not, there's plenty of people. That's well said, Joelle. I do. We should mention there are plenty of queer people, I believe, who disagree with you.
That is correct.
All right, Joelle, what do you have for us?
Okay. Well,
before you get into it, I want to make sure I'll give one person a shout out. Donald and I had the privilege of speaking to a gentleman who donated to an amazing cause that Wounded Warriors, that Jake Tapper, the CNN anchor man, does a charity every year for Wounded Warriors. And one of the prizes, an auction off, is a 30-minute FaceTime with Donald and I, which was fun because
it went for $20 million. People, that's how famous we are.
I don't know how much it went for, but I want to give a shout out to Ari Nemotin, who's a radiologist who gave the donation to Wounded Warriors, and Donald and I had an awesome 30-minute chat with him, and it was a lot of fun.
He listens to the podcast.
He's listening right now. And he also had a good, really funny idea, kind of like, it was almost like a multiverse idea of Scrubs, like saying, taking the characters and putting them into, in his particular pitch, it was the world of theater, like keeping the same relationships between the characters, but make them all like they're putting on a production of Dr. Acula.
Right. He was like, put them in different. And then we turned it into something like completely different, where it was like, look, what if their characters, they're always the same people from the show, but now they're playing in different scenarios. So
like Quantum Leap.
Right.
Like,
so instead of a hospital, it's a law firm or a police station one episode. And they're never the same people, but they're always in the same
The relationships are the same. It's almost like Quantum Leap meets Marvel TV show, and then it goes to the different
titles. WandaVision.
Yeah, it's almost like WandaVision meets Quantum Leap, where the characters are all the same. They have all the same relationships, but they're jumping between different television styles. So one time we're on a spaceship, and Cox is like the tough captain, and Kelso, you know, owns the ship, and that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And then you could jump and we're in a sitcom, and then it could jump and we're in like a legal drama.
It was amazing. It was a really cool idea.
That's what Donald and I riffed off of Ari's idea. So that was fun.
I love it.
So now we're going to hear somebody else's idea.
Yes, let's hear it.
So this Zach and Donald are gay newlyweds in house arrest.
Perfection. This is from Caleb.
Hello, Zach, Donald, Joelle, and twitch.tv/DJ_Daniel.
Wow.
This
is Caleb calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. Long time, first time. Unfortunately, I don't have an Australian accent, so I feel like I gotta, I'm working against the current here. But I've listened to every episode you guys have had so far, and gotta tell you, keeps me happy, keeps me entertained, keeps me laughing, gets me through my workouts and my runs. And I'm really sad to hear you guys are coming to the end of the episodes for Scrubs. But I'm really excited about the new direction you guys are thinking about taking. And I really want to suggest a new idea. It's a baking podcast. Donald's mentioned a couple times that he's been really into baking lately. talking about his pies and some other stuff he's made. The best part of this idea is the name, and that's Bakered Tart. Yeah, you guys can go by Bakered Tart.
This fucking guy.
Your process of making these dishes.
I feel like he started with that and worked backwards.
You can bring on celebrity chefs even. I know there's a lot of shows about baking, like the Great British Bake Off and Cake Boss. And
I love British Bake Off.
Like Cupcake Wars and probably a bunch of other ones that I'm forgetting right now. But no podcasts that I know of. You know, you guys can maybe participate in God's Lettuce. Maybe make it a little bit more interesting. Maybe kind of category of best dish overall and then best dish while partaking in God's Lettuce. I don't know, something like that.
God's Lettuce.
Yeah, happy to hear from you guys. Love that you guys are continuing the podcast and thinking about bringing it forward even beyond Scrubs. Thanks. Hope all is well.
Caleb.
Thank you.
From Shreveport.
Okay. What was his name again?
Tart.
Caleb.
Shout out Caleb from Shreveport, Louisiana.
I think Caleb may have been high when he came up with
You think so?
Bakered Tart.
You think so?
I feel like he came up with Bakered Tart and then worked his way backwards into a baking show.
He was like, yo,
Donald's ears perked up when he said baking show, thinking it was going to be about getting baked.
Well, he said baking show and God's Lettuce in the same fucking sentence. He freaking had me at hello. He had me right then and there.
Caleb,
I love to bake. I don't necessarily watch baking shows. That's too long. I prefer like the TikToks or the Instagram posts TikToks. That, you know, yeah, that's what the kids are calling it, right?
Do you watch TikTok? Are you on TikTok, Donald?
No.
I didn't think so.
But anyway, I like to watch, like, you know, there's this one guy who's like, let's do some cooking. And then there's this other guy who's like, and as always, Nam Sila. And I like him. There's this other dude. There's a couple of people that are out there that do Instagram cooking. And if you follow the recipe, because they give it to you really well, you can make it. And it works. And my kids eat it. And that's really how I learned to cook, by watching videos on Instagram or on the thing that they call the TikTok.
Well, I'm not really interested in baking, Caleb. Thank you for your suggestion.
Yeah, Zach, don't cook.
I don't want to do a podcast about cooking, but you seem
because
like a
you
really,
don't cook.
I don't cook, but you seem like a really nice fellow, and thank you for your suggestion, Joelle. So, what?
So
it's not even making it to the whiteboard. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's move on.
Joelle, what is the idea for a TV show for Donald and I?
Here we go. This is from Zach.
Oh, we like him already.
Oh. Zach with a self-submission.
Hey, Joelle, Daniel, Donald, and Zach. My name is also Zach, and I have a pitch for a TV show for Zach and Donald.
Go ahead.
Homie Spumoni 2, Spaghetti and Lots of Balls.
No.
No, don't do that. I'm kidding. No, here's the real pitch. Okay. Donald is a very famous, successful actor working on a big-time project. Maybe a film in L.A. or a show on Broadway.
Unbelievable.
In the middle of filming or rehearsing for this project, Donald does something to get himself canceled. Nothing terrible or egregious, but maybe something absurd, like someone filmed him gambling on a fart and shitting his pants during a rehearsal. That goes viral, and it attracts some negative attention to the project and its producers, which gets him fired. After that, by
ballot,
no one will take his calls or shitting your pants anymore. And then his work dries up, his life falls apart, and he's forced to move in with a relative, maybe a mom or a sister or a cousin, back home in small town Little Lass, Colorado. A few weeks of sulking around the relative's house drives his host crazy, and they encourage him to get out and look for work. He notices a flyer for a local community theater production of something and scoffs at first. But once encouraged to check it out, he recalls his early career fondly, before the money and attention, when it was about fun and art. He decides to check it out.
And then he shits his pants.
Upon entering the theater, or more probably a high school gym, he meets the local community theater director, an egotistical, self-important tyrant played by Zach.
What the fuck?
Perhaps part of the reason Zach's character is so arrogant is because he has what he thinks is an ace up his sleeve, an authentic British actor. Hey, Brett Goldstein. Unable to say no to having a big name in his production, Zach casts Donald, but the two constantly butt heads. Donald has a very clear inside knowledge about acting and directing that small-time Zach cannot allow his ego to appreciate. Meanwhile, Zach whips the rest of the local actors, all of whom are terrified of his authoritarian style of directing, into doing ridiculous acting exercises and warm-ups and so on. Conflict between Zach and Donald ensues. They eventually find common ground in a very heartfelt, Scrubsian way, and finally put on a performance that they're excited about. The play opens up for the local community theatergoers in Little Lass. It's awful. The audience is not receptive. The production choices are weird and silly and ridiculous. People hate it. But for Zach and Donald and the rest of the cast and crew, it's a formative experience in getting back in touch with the heart that goes into theater and in connecting with people again. Let me see if I can call back my guy, Stephen Brandon. Zach and Donald are rival thespians in
Wow.
Everybody Loves a Little Lass Play. If you guys are looking to have some whiteboard dreams come true, I've always wanted to work in a writer's room breaking stories. So say the word and I'll draft a manuscript for this pilot right now. It would be a dream come true to learn that craft from Bill and from Brett Goldstein. I'm just putting that out there into the universe, shooting my shot. I love everything that y'all do, and I can't wait for what you do next. Thanks for listening.
Wow, that was
well
great.
Done. Well,
really
done.
Well done. Well, I got to say, what's his name? Sorry.
Zach.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget that? Zach, very well presented. So for someone who has aspirations of getting into the business, I thought you did a really good job. I thought that was a good, quick pitch. So
I like that I'm the star of this one, too.
I don't like that my character's an asshole that I already hate.
Well, no, but we get together at the end and we make something special, at least to us. It's like High School Musical meets like Fame.
No, it sounds like Guffman.
Yeah, for Guffman. Then meets Guffman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds like the Mighty Ducks too. Like, you know what I mean?
I'd say the area I like the area of, you know, kind of like Ari's idea that we switch to like doing a play. Like the world is of like putting, like, you know, behind the scenes of putting on something. I like that area. Mm-hmm. I think that's funny for Donald and I to do. I think the world of small time theater hasn't really been lampooned better than Guffman.
That's probably the best version of it ever.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat Guffman, but we wouldn't be that tone. That's sort of a mockumentary. We wouldn't be that tone. But I don't know. I'm open to. I think that's, I don't know.
You know what was also good? Living in Oblivion. Is that
amazing.
What it was?
Amazing. Yeah. Love Living in Oblivion. That's spoofing the world of making independent movies. Amazing.
Tom DiCillo. Shout out Tom DiCillo.
Amazing. Shout out. If you like indies and you like behind the scenes stuff, watch Living in Oblivion. It's the funniest spoof of how hard it is to make an independent movie.
Do we have a lockup? Do we have a real lockup? That shit happened. I use that on everything. Look, dude, when we were doing Scrubs, I would say that shit. Do we have a lockup? Because sometimes the lockup fails. Do we have a real lockup?
And then every single morning they put the mic under him. He'd go, sound, this is my level. all right, everybody. Thank you so much. That's we're off to a start with season 8. We appreciate you. Ooh. We thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, please check out the trailer for A Good Person. It's on the YouTubes, coming out March 24th at a theater near you.
Also,
yes, Donald?
If you get the opportunity,
go ahead.
Check us out on T-Mobile.
Hey.
Yeah, watch the commercial if you haven't seen it, if you didn't watch the Super Bowl. All right, we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Donald, count us out.
5, 6, 7, 8 stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's our stories that we all should know.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.